Let's go to the Word of God together, if you want, please, in Philippians chapter 3, as we are introducing this retreat this weekend. The title of my message is Aiming Higher, Aiming Higher. And I might look a lot at my notes tonight because I want to make sure that I don't forget anything. As I was studying Philippians chapter 3, as I was studying, I was trying to translate a word from French to English. And so I went to an app, you know, to find the right word. And I found that word in English. And I went to Pastor Patrick and I say, is this the way you say it? A buoy in English. A buoy, which is B-U-O-Y. You know that word? So he turned to me and he said, like, a what? And I said, it's a buoy. It's a floating device that you put in the water to help ships for direction. So he turns to me and says, it's not a buoy. It's a buoy. Is that it? Yes. That's the right way to say it? A what? A buoy. Here we go again. In French, we say a buoy, but in English, it's a buoy. It's almost the same thing. As, you know, actually, it's from French. Okay, so who cares? A buoy, is that okay? Is a device floating to show the way for a ship or a boat. No matter the waves, no matter the storm, no matter the rain, the wind, the tides, no matter what happens, the snow, whatever, it can be pushed on any side, but it will always be there flashing and showing the way, just showing the way. And I want to show you tonight a buoy. That's okay? Who cares? In the Bible, that Paul had in his life, always showing him the way. It's in Philippians chapter 3. Through the fire and the flood, it was still there. Through the pains and the suffering of his life, through the distress and persecution, the famine, the nakedness that Paul went through, the danger and the sword, it was always coming back to the surface. It was there in his life, to always bring him back on track, always bring him back, aiming at the right thing. And Paul was aiming at a higher level. He was aiming at something higher that I want to show you tonight. Paul had many amazing revelations of Jesus Christ. He saw the church as the body and the bride. Paul saw Christ many times. The Bible says he was even taken to heaven. He accomplished great things with God. He had an understanding of the blood and the covenant like no one else. He organized the churches with a supernatural wisdom. He traveled and he had many adventures and saw miracles. He left a mark in history, but all those things were not enough for him. Paul was aiming at something higher. He was not satisfied with the victories and the good life that he had in Christ and the things that he accomplished and the change that God made in his life. Paul was aiming at something higher than I want to show you tonight. Philippians chapter 3, if you want to go with me, verse 7, he says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul was aiming at something higher than anything. He wanted Jesus Christ himself. Verse 10. That I may know him. I won't go further. Let's go to verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own
Because Christ has made me his own. We could translate, I press on because I want to seize him. I want to grab him. I want to lay hold of him. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. I do not consider that I have already seized him. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward, forgetting the good things and the bad things of yesterday, forgetting the victories of the past, forgetting maybe when I was weak or when I was hurt or when I sinned or when I fell or whatever, forgetting everything of the past. You got to understand there's something here deeper than just an explanation of salvation. Some people think he was just explaining salvation, what it is to be adopted and become a Christian. And which is I'm not putting this down. It's very these things are very important. Salvation is the basis. But Paul is not staying in the hall of the kingdom of God. He goes further in. He says, I want to go further than just being saved or adopted. He said, I want to gain Christ. I want to know him. I want to lay hold of him. And he says, I'm not there yet. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own or that I seized him. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. In other way, another translation, my translation would be, if you're a mature Christian, you're going to think like me. That's what he says. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. In other words, if you don't agree with me that this is the most important thing in the universe, God will show you that I was right. This is what Paul is saying here. He wanted to know him. He wanted to know more than the blessings of Jesus. He wanted to know him. More than just witnessing the nature of God growing in him. This is all about New Covenant. When you're born again, when you're a Christian, when you gave your life to God, God came into your heart and his nature started to grow in you. And then you witness that your life changes. And this is a good thing. But Paul was aiming at something higher than that. He was not just satisfied with seeing his own life being changed. His life was not, his Christian walk was just not centered on himself or seeing others change. It was more than seeing circumstances changed or having a fruitful, peaceful life. Many people just want to have a fruitful, peaceful life. But Paul was aiming at something higher than that. He was not satisfied. It was more than a general understanding of the ways of God. More than just knowing my place in the house of God, my place in the body of Christ, my place in the youth group, my future, what's the call? God, what is the call? Many young people ask themselves, or they ask the Lord, or they come to God, or they seek God. They want to know, God, what do you have for me? God, what's my place? What's your call upon my life? Where should I go, Lord? What should I do for you? And when they know it, then they slow down spiritually. But God, but Paul not. It was more than that. It was aiming at something higher. It was more precious than winning souls. And more precious than humanitarian work. What was that knowledge? This knowledge was so priceless to his heart. He calls it, and this is how, because I've been studying this verse for my own life in the last weeks. And God has been dealing with me and touching me very deeply about this. And as I was studying this, I discovered that what he mentions here, he calls it a surpassing, now listen to this, a surpassing excellency of indescribable worth to know Christ. Everything is evaluated as rubbish. For Paul, it was a good deal, and this is what he says in Greek. He says it was a good deal that sometimes it was cast away. A good deal that he might find himself alone at a certain point. It was a good deal, no regret, to suffer the loss of some things to go and find Christ. He forgets the past and what lies behind. And he is now pressing on, straining forward to make Jesus his home, to seize him, to grab him. Whatever was a gain is now counted and evaluated as a loss. What Paul says, I look at things on my way. I'm aiming at a goal. I have a road ahead of me. I have a goal to achieve. I want to know Christ more and more for the rest of my life. I'm aiming at this and I won't stop. And Paul says, it's so important to me that anything that comes in my way, I'm going to evaluate those things. And if one thing comes in my way to stop me, to slow me, to pull me back, or bring me on the side, whatever it is, Paul says, I evaluate this as a loss. And the Greek word is a damage. So Paul says, whatever comes in my way, if it comes in my sight, and if I look at this thing and it starts to grab my mind. You know, when you work, you have to focus on your work. When you go to school, you have to focus on your studies. And all these things are important. But when you have free time, what do you think about? When your mind is free, do you just think about shopping or friends or sports? And God has nothing against those things. But when your mind is free, what do you think about? Your worries, your problems, your hurts, your family. Anything that comes in his way, everything that would come in his way, Paul said, whatever it is, it can be a passion or it can be a problem. If it grabs my mind and if it pulls my mind away from wanting to know more and more Jesus, Paul says, I evaluate that thing in Greek as a damage. It's a damage. Paul, God has nothing to do against sports. God has nothing against sports. But if sports draws you away, draws your mind away from that goal, Paul says, this is a damage to me. What was that knowledge? I won't be long tonight, and we will go to prayer soon. There are two words in Greek for knowledge. The first word means a general understanding, just to know about things, intellectual knowledge of things. But this is not the word Paul is using here. Paul is using the word ginosko, which is the absolute of knowledge. Paul didn't want just to know more about Christ. He wanted the absolute knowledge. And a better translation is like a penetration. He wanted to, it's a penetrating of something. As if there is a wall and you want to break the wall and you want to go in. You want to see what's really inside. Paul says at this point in verse 10, he says, I'm aiming at something higher than anything else in the world. I need to know Jesus. And the kind of knowledge I'm talking about here, it's more than just reading the Bible. More than just Bible study, more than just hearing a good sermon or message, more than just a good worship. What Paul is aiming at, he says, I want to break the wall. I want to have a revelation of Jesus. I've got to see him in my heart. My heart needs a new fresh, because this is how he started his Christian life. He said, I don't have enough. I need a new fresh revelation of Jesus. I need to penetrate, I need to know the heart of God. It is something, that kind of knowledge is something so real that you can even feel it. A best translation would be to perceive. I think the best word to translate here to know Christ would be to perceive. Now listen to this. This is the heart of my message. Best translation is to perceive. To perceive means to feel the presence of something. I know we walk by faith. I know there are moments in your life where you just follow the Lord. You walk with him. You don't feel anything. And you say, Lord, I just don't have any feelings. But Lord, I'm walking by faith, not by sight, and not by my feelings. Okay. I love you. I know you love me. Sometimes I don't feel that God loves me. And I'm just going to follow you, Lord. And these moments are very precious to God.
But we need moments when God touches us. We need moments when we feel His presence. We need moments when we know we abide at His feet and His love is manifested. It's the love of God is not anymore just an intellectual knowledge that you know there's a God somewhere who loves you. His presence is manifested and you feel His love. This is the knowledge that Paul was talking about. When Paul says, I want to know Him, he says, I want to perceive, I want to penetrate, I want to feel, I need a new, I'm not satisfied. Thank you, Lord. God has been taken to heaven. He had visions of God. And the Bible shows us clearly that many times Christ revealed Himself to Paul, but it was not enough for him. The more you have of Jesus, the more you want. You're never satisfied. The lat, it comes from a lat, it's Greek, but it is also a Latin word. To perceive, it is a Latin word. Now listen to this. That means piercing to see inside. Piercing and seeing. It means to seize. This is amazing. It means to seize something with your spirit. To seize Christ with your heart. God is spirit and you have a spirit too. And the kind of knowledge that we're called to is a knowledge that my spirit lay holds of the Spirit of God. My heart lay holds of Him. And my mind needs to seize God. And it's so amazing because those Bibles, those studying of the Word are not even according to the Bible. They're just according to the language. In the Latin language, that word to perceive means that you see something and you receive from it. Isn't that amazing? What do we receive? As I'm closing, what are the blessings? I think that kind of knowledge of Christ, that kind of life, when Paul discovered that, it became his craving. It became his only purpose in life. Anything in his way would become a damage to that goal, to that pursuit. Anything, get out of my way. I'm after Christ because I know, Paul knew, and I know, every blessing comes out of this. Any need that you have tonight will be solved if you can have a new, fresh touch of Jesus Christ. It can be a psychological need, physical need, material need. It can be a spiritual need, emotional need, social need, whatever the need. When Christ reveals Himself and reveals His heart to you, when God gives you the grace to pierce and see who Christ is really, then it becomes the source of any need in your life. Sometimes a lot of people battle with lies. A lot of many young people struggle with lies in their mind. And I'm going to tell you this. I was talking with a professional psychologist, is that a way to say it, in France. And he told me, Chris, we cannot cure anyone with what we call the void. Just by telling people, this is a lie, this is a lie, this is a lie, don't believe it. You cannot cure anyone like that. The only way you can cure a lie is by bringing the truth. The darkness is just the absence of light. Any battle in our mind is a lack of revelation of Jesus Christ. So when Paul was saying, I'm aiming at this, he knew this is the heart to solve any problem I have. I'm telling you, he went through a lot. He had people sometimes running after him to kill him. He's been through a lot, this guy. But he knew the cure, what will solve any need that I have in my life is I need to know Christ. Sometimes the devil comes. Sometimes you can fight a lie, just personally. But I'm telling you, sometimes a lie can become an oppressive lie. It becomes oppressing. It becomes oppressing means there's like, it's not just a lie. There's just, I'm sorry to say that. I believe there's God, but I believe there's the devil too. And I believe the devil comes sometimes, and when he sees he has an access through a lie, he's going to come and he's going to press in. He's going to put pressure on you. And in those times, nothing will work. You cannot fight on your own. You need a supernatural power to come and help you. And that supernatural power is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he's the only one. Paul went through those battles. He knew about those spiritual oppressions. He knew about that sometimes it's not just it's not logical anymore. It's just oppressing me. It's oppressing me. It's just upon me. But Paul knew, if I can just keep on aiming at Christ, if I can just press on, hallelujah, whatever comes this way, whatever comes from my back, I'm moving forward. I need to know Christ. And when I get a new revelation, the Holy Spirit is so faithful, because if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. And as he draws near to you, it's like the light chasing the darkness, and my goodness, it's all over. True broken heart ministry will come out of this. True love for others. A balanced life. I just want to tell you something tonight. Some people, one day someone told me, Pastor Chris, just make sure you don't bring young people to be too radical. I want to answer to this. If you are totally sold out for the rest of your life to pursue, to know more and more, and that you're never satisfied, you want to hunger and thirst and have a cry, a deep cry in your heart for the rest of your life, you say, I'm going to set my life to this. I'm going to set my heart upon this. I want to know more and more and more and more Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, you're going to become the most balanced person. You're people who are really after God. Sometimes, you know, we say, oh, you're too spiritual. You heard that? We cannot be too spiritual. We cannot have, being too spiritual means you have enough of Jesus. The more you're sold out for God, the more your life will be balanced. The more your life will be down to earth. And if you have that tendency of maybe going over the edge, God is so good, he will bring you back. If you become space, God himself will bring you back on earth, because God is down to earth. So being sold out for Jesus will never bring you over the edge. You will have a true abiding peace. You know what it means to be sold out for God? I have two teenagers, and I discovered, like never before in my life, that shoes are important for teenagers. I just said shoes, and I saw some reactions like, ah. I promised my daughter I wouldn't talk about her, but I will. Don't tell her. You know when you go on internet and you click, click, click everywhere to find a pair of shoes, and it's written, sold out. It's sold out. You know what it means? Do you know what it means? Have you been there? So disappointed. No more, no more, no more. Sold out, sold out, sold out. Can you imagine a big screen at the gate, and the devil comes and he clicks, and he wants to see if he can buy you with something. Maybe a guy. Oh, yes. Maybe a better job, better salary, but less time for the Lord. Anything. And he comes and he clicks. Would it be wonderful that every time he clicks, sold out, 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 sold out. Ah, this guy is going through loneliness. You know, I'm going to try to buy him, and I'm going to bring him friends with
just a little bit of compromise in there to see if I can just draw him back, you know, to those, you know, bad companies. And because I know he feels really alone. And he comes, let's try this one. He clicks, book sold out, you know, like red light. Sold out for Jesus. Aiming at the higher goal. My life belongs to Jesus completely. Jesus said, if you do this, and I'm closing for real. Jesus says, if you do that, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what a promise then that he makes. All those things will be added unto you. Any need. Put all your needs aside. I just said that earlier. Any need that you can imagine that you have. Yes, you can bring it to God. That's what the Bible says that we should do sometimes. To bring every need to God. But don't make the need the goal of your life. Make Jesus the greatest need. I need to know him. And Jesus says, if you do that, if you seek to know him more, everything else that you need will be given unto you in due time. Victory over any inner battle will come to you. And as I'm closing, and I will invite the musicians to come, I just want to close with a funny illustration. I might look old, but I'm not. I'm young. You know, sometimes you think like retired people like to do gardening and stuff like that. And I like to do gardening a bit. I planted the seed of a sunflower in a pot just for fun with my daughter. Just one like that, because they say that it can grow in any kind of soil. So I put the seed of a sunflower in a pot in my house, and I water it once in a while. And it came out. A little green thing came out, you know, and started to grow. And it was so weak that it was going like, you know, anywhere. And it was like, and every day it was in a different position. And my daughter came to me. She said, Dad, maybe we should put a stick to help the plant to grow. And I said, you know, it's a sunflower. Farmers in France, I mean, they sow like thousands of that in their fields. And in the summer, you can go and it's beautiful. You see thousands of sunflowers. And I told my daughter, I said, do you think that those farmers, they put a stick at every little seed? It's impossible. They just grow by themselves. So let's just do nothing. Let's water it. Let's wait and watch. And as it started to grow, I saw it. Week after week, day by day. It was really weak. It was going like that. And slowly, it became stronger. And I've noticed that the plant was always aiming at the sun. Because it's a sun flower. So it's aiming at the sun. And one day, I spent almost the whole day at my office. And I put it on my office, on my desk. And the sun was coming from the left like that to the right. And I saw the plant as the day went on. The little plant. It was weak. But it was following the sun. And through the weeks and through the months, it became stronger. Now it's that tall. You are a sunflower. No matter if you feel weak, no matter if you feel like, Pastor, what you just said tonight, I want to do it in my life. I want to aim at Jesus, but I don't know how. I want to be a seeker after God's heart. I want to know him more, but I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to do it. You know what I'm going to tell you in closing? Just do it. Just come as you are. Just start to seek his face. Just open your mouth. You don't know what to say. Just say, Jesus, I love you. I want to know you more. Help me, oh Lord. Hold my hand, Lord. And as you grow, you just keep on focusing on him. Jesus, I want to know you. And God will make you stronger. God, the sun, is the stick that holds the sunflower. And God will hold you. God will make you stronger.
Last Friday, you know everything that happened in Paris. And we were really on a shock. And I was telling my mind, Lord, what is your answer to all this? Soccer game canceled this week in Germany because of indications of a bomb attack that would occur. The famous Charlie Hebdo magazine made a drawing of a young man pucked. Is that the way you say it? Poked, like holes, you know, by bullets. But saying, they can have the bullets, we have the champagne. We're drinking, we're having fun. Let's keep partying. Another journal painted a huge dark cloud over Paris. Since Monday, 1,000 calls a day of people who want to join the army or police to fight terrorism. And I was thinking, Lord, what is your plan in these last days? You know what is the plan of God? It is you. The plan of God is always a person. But the person that God will use is a person like Paul that says, my goal is to know Jesus. You know why? Because if you aim at knowing Jesus, he will come and he will meet you. And he will fill your life with an unexplainable peace. And then what God will do next, he will bring you somewhere where there's someone in distress, in turmoil, and anxiety. And you will tell that person what God did for you. This is the plan of God for the last days.
There is a young lady in my church. Her co-worker was there in the theater. And she got shot and she lost her husband. And now she's presently in a coma in the hospital.
And some Christians around me were asking themselves, what can we do? And I'm telling you, what can we do? When she wakes up of her coma, and if we get to go and see her at the hospital, what verse can we quote? What advice can we give? What can you, humanly, do you realize humanly it's impossible? We need something supernatural. We need something from heaven. We need the presence of God. And if you've been with the Lord, God will go with you. And if you really want to be sold out for God and you say, for the rest of my life, whatever happens in this world, God, I want to live for you. I want to live for your glory. Who knows what's going to happen around you, in your neighborhood? Who knows? But you are the plan of God. If you say, Lord, I'm going to aim higher. Hallelujah. I'm going to fly higher than this world, Lord. I want to know you. I want to draw near to you. I want to be at your feet, Lord. And as you do it, God will touch you. God will prepare you. And God will send you. But in those last days, people can call to join the army and police. And those things are good. But the plan is that God is calling us to come to him. And the only hope for this generation, the only hope, is young people totally sold out for God and living for him. No more time for shows. Make a good sermon, good illustrations, making people laugh. I'm really not into this because I have no time to lose. I know there's only one solution, and it's the presence of Jesus. Presence of Jesus in my heart. Amen. Can we stand up together?
Hallelujah. We are introducing a retreat tonight, and I would like to do something. I would like to invite you to physically do what Paul talks about. Hallelujah. God has put examples in His Word. Yes, Jesus is the perfect example. But God has put human, not perfect, weak. Paul was not perfect. But inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul says, imitate me. I want to imitate him. And this is what he says. No, it's not that I have already obtained this. He means I'm not satisfied with what I have. I'm a Christian. I love God. But I don't have enough. I want more of Him. So what do? I press on to make it my own. I want to seize Him. Brothers, hallelujah. I hear Pastor P when I read this. He always says, brother. Paul says that. He said, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting everything, the goods and the bads that lie behind. And I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. It's Jesus. I press on toward the goal. I gotta lay hold of Jesus. I need a new, fresh touch of Him. I'm gonna draw near to Him, and He's gonna draw near to me. For the price is Jesus, hallelujah, of the upward call of God, which is Jesus. And he says, if you're mature, you're going to think this way. And if you don't think this way, well, God will show you the way one day. This is what he says. And he calls this the surpassing excellency of indescribable worth. Hallelujah. To know Jesus. So I will invite you now, if you want to join us, and just take a moment tonight and say, Lord, just bring your heart just as you are. Hallelujah. Is there anything in your way tonight? It's a damage. It's a damage. Any other passion, activities, fun, friends, sometimes these things are good. Just bring your heart tonight, just as you are. Say, Lord, give me that heart. Be real with God. Be real with yourself and with God. And say tonight, Lord, I come as I am. Give me that heart, Lord. Light the fire again, God. Light the fire again, God. I want to live for you. I can't live for myself. I can't live for this world. This whole world is going to burn down anyway. God, let me live for you. Hallelujah. As you come physically, it's like a step of faith. You step out in faith and you say, Lord, here's my heart. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about the pastor. It's not about this church. Lord, it's all about you, Jesus. You are the center. You are the center for Paul. God, I want you to be the center of my life, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Young people, lift up your hands now. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Call upon the name of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh God, we want to know you more. We're straining forward, Lord. Putting everything aside, Lord, we want to know you. We count everything as a loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. It's not about my ministry. It's more than winning souls. Hallelujah. I need to know you. I need a new fresh touch of God. Hallelujah. No more time to lose, God. We want to be totally sold out for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Whatever gain, O Lord, we count it as a loss. Whatever gain, Lord, we count it as loss because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say it to the Lord tonight. Pray the word. We count everything as loss, Lord. Hallelujah. Compared to the surpassing worth of knowing you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, whatever we go through, God. If we suffer loss of friends or loss of whatever, God, hallelujah, we count all those things as rubbish. In order that we may gain Christ, that we may perceive, that we may pierce in, oh God, pierce and see Christ. Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, we want to forget what lies behind. And we want to strain forward to what lies ahead, Jesus. We need to know you, Lord. And God, you are good. Hallelujah. Pray with me. You are good, Lord. Hallelujah. You're just waiting for us, oh God. Hallelujah. You're ready to touch us. You are not out of reach, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your blood. Because of your blood, we can come as we are, Lord. We want to know you more. We need a new revelation, a new touch of you, God. Hallelujah. God, give us a generation of young people totally sold out for God. Hallelujah. Knowing supernatural peace of God. In this world of stress, in this world of fear, God. People live in fear, God. But you want us to live in peace. And that peace is just as at your feet, oh God. At your feet. Hallelujah. Oh God, we come to you tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus.